بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعده My brothers and sisters, we are on the same hadith like we did yesterday and today and the day before, which is the hadith of the three men who were trapped in the cave. And their dua, the three of them made duas to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yesterday, as I mentioned to you, one of the ways of looking at it is the focus of their dua is based on their actions and these actions dealing with other people. So integrity of action, honesty, concern for others, all of that. Today I want to mention another aspect of this, which is that these are actions which also indicate a personal struggle of the individual. These are actions where a person has choices and he consciously exercises the right choice. He consciously does the right thing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not just a random good deed. It's not just saying, okay, I prayed, you know, tahajjud today, or I read, one juz of Quran more, or I read a few more nawafil, all of which is good actions, all of which we should do. But there's a difference between that and doing a good deed when it was also possible to do something which was either evil or something which was less good than the one that the person chose. So here is a case where a person is choosing to do ihsan, to do more than what is required in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each of these deeds is an indicator of the degree of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the person had in his heart. Take the first one. He gives the milk to his parents first before he gives it to his family. Right? Now this does not mean, please don't take this to mean that somehow it is justified or permissible to be unjust to your family. We are not talking about injustice. We are saying when it's a matter of doing more. And what is the struggle here? The struggle and the reason why this example is also given, wallahu alam, this is my understanding, is because in cases like this where now you have grown up and you have a family of your own, meaning that you have your wife, you have your children and so on, parents tend to lose importance in terms of the scheme of things in your life. They are no longer, within quotes, necessary. They don't have the power. You are not eating what they have earned. You are not, maybe not even living in their house. Instead of you living in their house, maybe they are living now in your house. And believe me, psychologically, it's a huge difference. Makes a major, major difference. When you are living in the parents' house, in your father's or mother's house, and from where they are now living with you, no matter how well you look after them, there is always a barrier to say that this is in their hearts and minds to say, this is not my house. This is the house of my son. The mother will always have this thing. Oh, this is my daughter-in-law is now the boss of this house. Not that the daughter-in-law has done anything unjust to her mother-in-law. Not that there is a bad relationship. They may have the best of relationships, but this is not my house. And that is a psychological burden on the other person. So therefore, as a son or a daughter, you need to go out of your way. Not just do what is required, even more than what is required. And this is what the behavior of the son here indicates. This is what he did. It doesn't mean that he was neglecting his family. It means that this person was doing more than what is required. Then, because he could have, he could have left the milk there. He could have chosen many options. But instead of that, he stood there by the head of the bed with the milk bowl in his hands, waiting for his parents to wake up. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests. So therefore, the test for him was that the parents didn't wake up until next morning. So until the following morning. In the case of the second one, the test is even more severe, where it's a matter of passion. It's a matter of, his physical passion, where he is about to get what he was after. And obviously from the beginning itself, if he wanted to have sex with that girl, this was haram. This is not permissible in Islam. You are not permitted to have sex with somebody that you are not married to. And therefore, this was something that even his intention itself was wrong. But for whatever reason,
Obviously, the girl was pure, had always been pure. She did not allow him to touch her. And right in the end, out of desperation, because, you know, whatever her personal situation was, she felt forced to agree. But even there, when she could not stop him, she reminded him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where it shows that the love that the man had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala superseded even his passion at that moment. And the man did not touch the girl. He left her, and of course he also left the money with her. So he didn't take the money back. He left the money with her and he did not touch her. So this is showing again a personal struggle. The first one is also showing a personal struggle where the man has to choose between his parents and his family. The second one is showing a personal struggle where the man has to struggle with his own nafs, with his own desires. And the third one is shows a struggle with regard to dealings with other people, where, as I mentioned, all that the worker was entitled to was his wages. The wages had not been denied to him. It is not as if the man didn't want to pay him or he refused to pay him. He was ready to pay him. The worker did not take the wages. The worker went away. And so the worker is responsible for the fact that he didn't get paid on time. It was not the man's fault. The man was ready to pay him on time. For whatever reason, the worker was not there. He went away, so he didn't get paid on time. But when he came back, when he returned, the man did not just pay him his wages, which is what was due to him, but he gave him all of that, all the camels and the cattle and whatnot, which was the result of the that money which he invested, the wages of the worker which he invested. So once again, there is this struggle where you can say for yourself and say, well, you know, I'm supposed to pay him the wages. Why must I give him everything? He just went away. I mean, I didn't tell him to go away. All right, so here is your wages plus, you know, here is a $100 bonus or whatever it is, right? So, or take one cow. You know, that's good enough. Take one camel. No, he gave him the works. He gave him everything. And the man says, Allah, he took away everything. He didn't even leave any single thing behind. So it shows the nature of the man. So here was a man who was a worker. And think about that. Here is a struggle also on another level, which is that it is easy to be generous with people who are nice. So, if this worker, for example, had been a nice person, it would be easy. But obviously, from the behavior of the worker, first of all, he does the work, he just walks away, doesn't take the money. He shows that he's an arrogant sort of a person. And even when he is given all of this stuff, he does not even say thank you. He doesn't say, all right, no, thank you so much for doing all this for me. After all, you took the trouble to invest and to look after all of these things and so on. So, you know, here is one cow, keep the cow, right? Drink the milk. Here is one sheep, whatever. He didn't do it. He took every single thing and went away. So the point is that here is again a struggle. So there is a struggle at home in a domestic matter. There is a struggle of the self in terms of your own nafs and your personal desires. And then there is a struggle in the outside world with other people and dealings with the other people. So three different kinds of struggles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what people did. This is the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we learn from this that these actions are so important that they can be the wasila for delivery from a calamity from which nothing could save us. And of course, the big lesson that these people had, this faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had this complete yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can save us. They didn't just lose hope and despair and sit there and die. They did what they could, and what they could was to ask Allah. And they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had enough knowledge of deen, and they were connected enough with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have had these secrets with Allah. They had these secrets with Allah. Like, halaka indaka, halaka sirrun indallah. Do you have a secret with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So they had secrets with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you, let us focus on our actions, let us focus on our lives, let us understand that whatever we do, let us do it for one reason only, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
constantly have this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, and may Allah give you therefore then the opportunity to do deeds to please Him and to keep those secret and to use them as your wasail, as your resources when you truly, truly need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when nothing and nobody can help you. I ask Allah to save you from such situations in the first place. And then if and when such a situation befalls you, to take you out from the situation and to give you the deeds where you can ask Him on the basis of those deeds. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.